Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm going to jump down to Jeremiah 6 to verse number 10 once again, where we left off on Sunday. And let's see if the Lord will help us once again. He had to on Sunday, and the feedback I've gotten is that he did help us through the scriptures, and he can do so once again in spite of our frailty and weakness and oftentimes our own wickedness of the flesh. The Lord can help us, and if there's help to be had, it is in the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, jumping down to verse number 10, he asks the question, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see. And ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, we ask you to help us now. We appreciate what you're doing in our midst. We appreciate the word of God that we have in our own language. We don't need to wait for someone else to translate it for us. We don't even need someone to interpret it to us. There is no private interpretation in this book. Each one of us can go to the Holy Scriptures. And with the empowerment, the illumination of the Holy Ghost, we can feast upon it for ourselves. Now we've come together to, as a body of believers, hear your word magnified. And we ask the Spirit of God to do just that. Holy Spirit, would you illuminate the scriptures to us? Would you elevate them in our minds and in our hearts to their proper place? There is nothing higher, nothing more supreme than the word of God. Would you help us to humble ourselves before it, to use it as that mirror into which we can gaze and get an accurate picture of where we're at and how things are. That which is right can be tightened down and hold fast. And that which is wrong might be corrected and come in line with the scriptures. That perfect plumb line, that straight edge upon which we can examine ourselves. Would you help us in our head and in our hearts and in our homes to look at ourselves in light of the word of God. Do a work in us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. We dealt with this passage on Sunday, and I don't know what was fully dealt with the Wednesday before. I wasn't here, and the recorder was with me, and the phone with the live stream was with me, and I got the gist of it, something about being a servant, and I'm sure it was good, those that were here, and I heard about it from a couple of my kids. I'm not real sure, but I'm sure I'll eventually hear it somewhere else when he preaches. He's preaching at New Life tomorrow night, so maybe he'll preach it at New Life Baptist tomorrow night, and I'll get to hear it. But in dealing with Jeremiah 6, 16, the text really, but in verse 16, he talks about those paths. We dealt with this Sunday, how God from Exodus, when they first came out of Egypt, that God led his people. That God as a shepherd has always had a path he is leading his sheep in. Then we come to this idea of an old path, and the image we can paint in our minds is that of a traveler. Someone who is traveling down a road. And whatever road that may be on, it's not the old one they used to be on, but they're on a new path. They were a sheep following the path cut by the shepherd, the path that is the shepherd. Jesus is the way, and he leads in the paths of righteousness. Somewhere along the line, the sheep have veered, and they're trying to make their own way. And this traveler is going down this new path, and they're finding out things aren't going like we thought. We're not gaining like we should. We're not growing like we should. And they come to that crossroads of decision. And the opportunity is there for Judah in the book of Jeremiah to go whichever way they desire. The choice is entirely up to the individual and here to the people of Judah that we can continue down this new path that we are forging for ourselves, even though Jeremiah is telling us that God said this ends in deception and destruction. Or in verse 16, we can stop. We can stand. We can seek and then stay in the old path. We talked about it Sunday that when he refers to old paths, he's not just referring to the age of a path. Now, the oldest path is the best path. There are paths of old in the scripture referred to that wicked men walked in. So we got to be careful. We don't just go by a certain era or a certain time period of history. But he's dealing with the old paths. It's something that was before what is now. And even saying that, I sound like a Kamala Harris. That which is comes from that which was. And all the world's word salads that she pukes out, because that's the wheel of spinning with the hamster died a long time ago. It goes for all of them. He's saying this is, if you're looking for an old path, you're looking for the path you used to be in. It's old because it's not where you are. You're in a new path. Get back to the old path that I began to lead you in. As a sheep led by the shepherd. As a sheep that detoured somewhere. Trying to make their own way. They have left, Psalm 23, the paths of righteousness. Jeremiah 2, they have left the paths of hungering for God. And humility before God. And a honesty before God. And a holiness before God. They've left the paths of righteousness and have turned off to the right or to the left into the paths of self-righteousness. While there is still an appearance of righteousness, but it is of self and not of God. The path of self-sufficiency, where I don't need the old cistern, I can hew out a new one. The paths of self-reliance, that I can do God's job for him and I'll rely on myself rather than him. We'd never say that, neither would Judah, but that's where they are. And God is telling them through Jeremiah, instead of just traveling blindly on, stop. Don't proceed rashly. This traveler is saying, stop and take stock of where you're at. He says in verse 16, stand ye in the ways. There's no progression there anymore. He's saying, stop right there and see. Take stock of where you're at. We keep using these words because it helps me know where we need to work. We need to work in our heads, our thoughts. We need to work in our hearts, the seat of our emotions. We need to work in our homes. To see where there is disarray. To see where there is decay. To see if there's areas of disrespect and defiance. And if you miss Sunday, you can go back to it. I thought it sounded mean. I was trying to give practical helps of some of the old paths of being honest before God that children of God used to walk. Whether it was children, adults, spouses, etc. He says, stop and see. And then he says, ask. He says, seek for the old paths. Stop. Stand. See. Seek. Ask for directions to get back to where you should be. Seek this thing out where you strayed and get back on track. The problem with Judah, which is a problem to all mankind, is we're usually too full of pride to admit we're out of the way. We're usually too full of pride to admit I have strayed from the old paths of the paths of righteousness into the new paths of self-righteousness. That I have turned off the paths of righteousness and have settled for surface righteousness. And on top of that, we're usually too proud to ask for directions. We won't even do that on a road trip. Let alone in spiritual settings. And the temptation for Judah, which they follow in, is to refuse to walk in this old path, to refuse to hearken and just double down in their stubbornness, just to continue on in their resistance and in their rebellion. We say it this way, we waste so much time and resources because of pride. These people could have gotten back to going in the right path. To gaining ground in the right path, to growing in the right path, if they take the time to stop and find the right path. It's not, I've got to keep running for God, and I've got to keep gaining ground. It's okay to stop, to stand, and to take stock. And say, let's see where we're at and where we need to be. And if I'm in the paths of righteousness, then I don't need to go find an old path, I'm in the path. But if I'm in a new path, I need to go back. If we recognize, take time, then repent and return. For that to happen, he says over and over again in these first six chapters, over and over again. Word of God.
It is what we need to help us take stock. It is what we need to help us be still and examine ourselves. It is what we need as the direction or the roadmap for the traveler trying to figure this thing out. They had eyes that couldn't see anymore. They had ears that couldn't hear anymore. And God tells them again and again, you need the Word of God to reopen your vision. You need the Word of God to restore your hearing. And Jeremiah 2:4, he says, hear ye the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah 2:31, he says, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. And they know what he's talking about, because they can trace this back into their early days, and they used to love the Word of God. They used to delight themselves in the Word of God. They used to meditate upon the words of God. In Exodus 19, it says, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Judah was part of this one nation before they split under Rehoboam's foolishness. And by the way, Rehoboam split his nation by some foolish things, because there were some men in there that left the right paths because they started getting influenced by their own people. We're going to get to that at the end of the message, but some of these men were told by some older, wiser, godly men, this is what you should do. They said, oh, no, we don't think so. Let us go and talk to our peers and find someone our own age and take a poll of our friends what we should do. Danger. They used to be hungry for the Word of God, and then they have veered off somewhere, and now they resist the Holy Ghost, and they resent the Holy Scriptures. How do they go from saying, give us every word God has to say and we'll do it, to saying, we don't even want to hear it. We have no delight in this by the time we come to Jeremiah 6. It's not something God forgets. He brings it up in Acts 7, verse 51, in a message that is preached by a man of God in Acts 7 that says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Became a multiple generation after generation problem, which it will be anyway, because every generation is going to have to decide for themselves, what will you do with the Word of God? But how to return to the paths of righteousness is found in the Scriptures. Any hope we have of returning to the paths of righteousness is found in the Scriptures. Whether it is Psalms or Revelation, it is the salve we need for our eyes. It is the circumcision we need for our ears. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119:18-19. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Why? I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. The psalmist said, I am a stranger. I don't know how to get through this area. I don't know how to navigate this. I'm a stranger in this land. Give me your word as a guide. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the hope and the help that is in the Word of God. Here's their response in verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. The word of God had become a reproach to the people of Judah. It means it had become an object of derision, of despite, of mockery. Everything Jeremiah would say, they would laugh at, they would deride, they would mock. The word of God had become a reproach to them, and it says they have no delight in it. They had no respect for the word of God anymore. They had such a low regard for the word of God, they took no pleasure in it. They found no sweetness in it. Oh, they used to hunger for the word. They used to hearken to the word, and now, like other scriptures would say, their heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. What's even worse is not just that they can't hear and see the Word of God anymore. They don't want to. They don't want to hear God's Word anymore. They don't want to hear God's voice anymore. Because God's Word is a threat to their comfort and their carnality. ultimately, in verse 13, we'll get there, God's word is a threat to covetousness. Because when God shows up through his word and through the Holy Ghost, something happens. I know we go through a lot of services and a lot of church and a lot of routines, but when God shows up, something happens. When the Holy Ghost shows up, something happens. When we see and hear like God does, we can't continue the same way anymore. We get laid before us the mirror and it shows us, I cannot walk in the old path of righteousness and walk in the paths of self any longer. And that goes contrary to human nature because in verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. He said, no wonder they have no desire and no delight for the word of God. Everyone is busy looking out for the benefit of self. They're looking for how can I get ahead? And what is best for me? And what can I gain by this particular venture? God's word would have messed up their plans. God's word would have messed up their pursuits and their passions, because rather than looking for the fear of God and the glory of God and the welfare of my fellow saints, everyone from the least to the greatest had reduced their lives down to what can I get out of this life? Philippians 2 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Here's the danger of living a Judah mentality or a Judah spirituality. They often turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the word of God because they'd already decided what they wanted to do. They'd already decided what they were going to do. And we can't hear truth, we can't see and discern truth, because oftentimes we've already decided that whatever I want must be the right thing. So we dealt with that Sunday, what paths we should be walking in. The paths of righteousness. The paths of hungering for God, being desperate for God. The paths of humility before God, being humble before God. The paths of being honest before God, letting his word tell me where I'm at. The paths of being holy before God. And as important as what paths we should be walking in is what people we should be walking with. Here's where part of the problem comes in for the people of Judah. Not only were they walking in the wrong path, but they're walking with the wrong people in verse number 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. No wonder they're having a higher time getting back to the right paths. They're listening to the wrong people. Amos 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? 2 Corinthians 6 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God tells them, here are the paths you should be walking in, and then tells them, here's the people you should be walking with, or you should not be walking. He says it there in verse 13 and 14, there's some priests and some prophets that are not good to be influencing and impacting them. He says down in verse number 17, the opposite. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. It's not only the paths, the people. Some are leading one way, others are leading other ways. There are prophets and priests that are covetous. They are in this for their own gain. They are in this to appease the masses and keep their positions. They are in this to speak smooth things because the people love to have it so. And then there are watchmen who say, thus saith the Lord. Down to verse number 28 of chapter 6. They are all grievous revolters. Well, what does part of that mean? Walking with slanderers. There's a crowd to walk with and there's a crowd not to walk with. We claim to be in the paths of righteousness, in the old paths, but oftentimes walk with those who are not. Who I walk with, who I work with, understand when I say work with, we all work with lost people, I'm sure, work in the service of the Lord. Who I walk with the Lord with, who I work for the Lord. determine what I walk in down the road. Who I walk with today determines what I walk in tomorrow. Proverbs 13 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 9, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Paul said to the church at Galatia, who loved Paul so much that they would have pulled out their eyes and given them to him if there was surgery possible in their day for their good eyes to replace Paul's bad eyes. He said, you would have plucked out your eyes for me. Then he goes on to ask the same bodies of believers, where is then this blessedness you spake of? In chapter 5 to the churches at Galatia, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And then said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, you were running so well. You were in a good path. Who is it that got you off this path? Openeth the whole lump. And I said it Sunday, so I'm dealing with not all the doctors out there and the colleges out there and the other faith groups that are out there. I'm dealing with the independent Baptists, but ultimately with this church, our hearts, our homes. Who is it? We allow it to influence us. Judah started letting the wrong people influence them. Here's the danger in the day in which we live. It's no different than his day. It's just we're having to deal with it now all over our nation. They found religious voices to agree with them. It wasn't that Judah went out and just adopted all the pagan worship of their land, although they did. They went to priests and prophets of their own faith. And those priests and prophets stamped what they had already decided they wanted to do. They found voices that were supposed to be voices of religion, pure religion, and reason, and got them to sign off on their carnality and covetousness. There's a big difference between Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, these prophet and priests, and Jeremiah 17, watchmen. There's a big difference between the Jeremiahs who are sent by God and the false prophets who are self-appointed. Either one, whether I'm trying to evaluate the position or the path that I am in, I need the word of God. Same thing with the people that I'm walking with. I need the word of God. We find, is this a prophet and a priest that is dealing falsely? Or is this a watchman that has been appointed by God? How do I find that out? The word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Take the watchmen and take the prophets and the priests and go to the word of God and let God be true. Judah willingly allowed themselves to be led astray by prophets and priests that said, come this way. There's peace in this path. And what it was, going back to Psalm 23, the shepherd leading the sheep, blind sheep turned off being led by other blind sheep. And we have the blind leading the blind. That always ends in a ditch. If the path they're offering, the prophets and the priests, Judah, gives you everything you think you want, fulfills all your fleshly desires and selfish ambitions, that path is not the path of God. You can find those churches, they may even call those Baptist churches, a dime a dozen in our nation now, that you can live this way, dress this way, talk this way, act this way, have this doctrine, have this music, and then God can come and meet with us, and God can come in our little group, and God can come lead our worship. God's not in that. That is not the path of God. God will not share his glory with another. God will not share his throne with another. God is God all alone in a category by himself. And either I'm following the shepherd or I'm following the sheep. It can't be both. And the problem Judah faced, because religious voices are even speaking falsely, is a problem that people have faced all through the ages. Physical or a historical illustration during World War II. The Battle of the Bulge. A bunch of German soldiers dressed up like the Allied soldiers. Yes, and those German soldiers used American vehicles and went through the German countryside changing road signs. And when the American troops came to these crossroads, they often got fooled and were led off in the wrong direction. That deception by the Germans almost gave them the victory. Almost. And the Battle of the Bulge was a very decisive battle in World War II. So what does it have to do with that? Well, just as there was confusion and death caused by some Germans changing a few signs, there's a lot of that going on today. There's a lot of that going on in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord God, this is the word of God, this is the path of God. Here comes the prophets and the priests changing the signs, belying the Lord and saying, God did not say this, and this is what God has said, and you are at peace with God. And so many today are being led off into hell. And so many others who are Christians are being led off into bondage and entanglement again. But I say it this way, no matter which signs they change and which signs they put up, it doesn't change where the road goes. That road in Germany still went where it always went, no matter what the sign says. Well, the sign said, the label said. Well, did you try it? Did you test it, Christian, by the word of God? You label the road with whatever sign you want. The road still goes where God says it goes. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would. We might have to split this one because it's a Wednesday night and all that school and work in the morning. We got more left than we don't. The paths we are to walk in, the people we are to walk with, even religious voices, try them by the scriptures. Watch where you're walking, watch who you're walking. Proverbs 2 says, my son, in verse 1, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Sounds pretty similar to Jeremiah chapter 6. It's an on-purpose pursuit. I'm trying to seek this thing out. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. We're seeing the opposite here initially from Judah. They had no delight in the word. They had no desire for the word. Wisdom and knowledge of God was a reproach to them. But in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go under her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. God's telling them the paths to walk in. He's telling the people to walk with. There's a crowd to listen to and a crowd not to listen to. If you want to, you can turn over to 1 Kings chapter 12. I've got another element to the message, and I'm going to cut it off on this other page and save it for Sunday and develop it a little more about how when we do what I'm talking about tonight, there is rest for our souls. Our soul can be revived, can be restored. And in Lamentations, we'll look at it. Man will do anything to find rest for their soul, except for listening to the word of God. 1 Kings chapter 12. Here's where some of their history unfolds. And Rehoboam, verse 1, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam went to Shechem, or Shechem. For all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. That they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. That's good advice. There are some old men that were in the early days of Solomon before Solomon became a fool, the wisest fool that ever lived. And they saw what made Solomon a success and gave Rehoboam the same advice. He should have walked in that path with those people. Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. I don't have time to develop that verse tonight. Caution. Red lights going off. Red flags going off. If you're looking for life advice, don't go to somebody your own age. Find someone that's further down the road from you, who is where you want to be and has done it successfully according to the Word of God, and go find out how they did it according to the Word of God. And I have to clarify that. Like, but you're a young guy that hasn't been down the road ahead of some of us. The Word of God is the Word of God. But understand what the principle is that I'm saying there. And consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. Listen to what these young men are going to say. They're all looking out for, number one, how can we benefit? Covetousness. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. Yea, my father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. I'm not even sure how you pull that off. And their advice doesn't make sense from the beginning, but I'm sure somewhere it makes sense. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spoke unto Ahijah the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse to your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. Some will go along with this because it's just what they go along with. Whatever, it's the king. Some people vote with their feet. In verse 17, But as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin and 84,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam the son of Solomon. All of a sudden you have civil war. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearken therefore to the word of the Lord, and return to depart according to the word of the Lord. You can read all down through this again, and it begins to describe the decay, the division, destruction of their nation as they knew it. Because one guy said, I'll decide what path I walk in, and I'll decide what people influence me. I don't need the old paths. I don't need the old principles. Not just the old people because of their age, the old principles. I will let the wrong people influence and impact and guide my life. And that is where we pick up in Jeremiah, their nation has now been divided for years because of the foolishness of Rehoboam. We'll get to it. Chapter 6 again in Jeremiah. He's going to crack down on their sins of covetousness and corruption. But he immediately comes down on the sins of their prophets and their priests as well, because they use smooth words to comfort and calm a people who should be alarmed and blushing about where they're at. They should have been provoked to repentance by their religious leaders. But their religious leaders say, let me smooth this. Let me heal this. Let me say there's peace. And Judah said, all right, we like this new path. We like these new principles. Let's go this way. Jeremiah 5 said they loved to have it so, because it allowed them to keep their comforts. It allowed them to keep their carnality and their covetousness. Thus, saith the Lord, upsets the apple cart. It upsets the ambitions. And he said, they have healed the hurt of my people slightly. He said, what they have done is they have come and they have treated, they have dressed the wound as if it wasn't a serious wound. They have come to Judah, just blew the dust off the wound and put a band-aid on it and said, hey, just keep walking it off. When it wasn't a scratch, Judah's in full cardiac arrest. Judah's in full blindness. They are in full-blown sepsis. They don't need the prophets and the priests healing it slightly. They need this thing rooted out at its core. Peace, peace is a wonderful message. It's something most people want to hear. It's something all pastors want to preach. But sometimes it's not true. Sometimes there's war and conflict, whether we like it or not. There is a war to be waged. There is a work to be done. There is fallow ground to be broken up. We don't need smooth words. We need spiritual surgery. We need the sword and the hammer and the fire of the watchman of the Word of God to pierce and lay open, to expose the rot and decay, to smash the stones, to burn the thorns, to heal this thing from the inside out. Hebrews 4, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We're done with this. In our dealings with God, one man said, let us ask that God will not spare us or give us anything less than best, but that he would take the word of God and show us how to get back to the old paths and the old principles and the right people. And the process may be painful, but it's worth it, because in the paths of righteousness is the shepherd. And he's my shepherd, David said. And he maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth me for his name's sake. Outside of the path, it's a dangerous, hard place to live. In the path, what is garnered by the paths of righteousness is superior. Who is gained by the paths of righteousness is so much better. If we'll stop, if we'll see, if we'll seek, recognize, return, and repent, and stay in the old paths. The paths we're walking in, the people we're walking with. We'll pick it up on Sunday. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord.